Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and I hope you're having a fantastic Sunday. This is Jason Ophir, as always, here with Sherry Pang. Sherry, how are you?
Pretty good, Jason. How are you?
Not too bad. I'm officially on vacation, and we were talking a little bit before the show. I hurt my back, and I think it's finally on the mend. So it's been a rough week for me. How was your week?
Oh, pretty good. I've just been, oh my goodness, between, I've just been busy between readings and Chinese medicine. I did a big lecture for, you know, an hour and a half to share with different colleagues in the field of Chinese medicine. It was amazing. So I loved it. And yeah, it's all good. Life is good. I feel blessed. And yeah, it's all good.
Good is good. So I know we're going to kind of move away a little bit from the paranormal this evening, and you got us a great guest. We're going to kind of touch on some subjects that kind of stray away a little bit from the paranormal. Can you tell us a little bit about our guest?
Well, yes, and you know what? It could be considered, you know, it's just me. It could be considered into conspiracy theories, because you know how we are when we get into, you know, when we have Barry come back on or any of these guys, you know, we talk about these controversial issues. But and for the first time tonight, we want to welcome Randy. And we're going to, for his protection, I'm not going to disclose too much information, but this guy is just a wealth of information and also experience. And I want to bring him on. He's going to talk about maneuvering around the matrix and the difference between common law and corporate law. So whatever he wants to share, you know, it's going to be really, really eye-opening and very enlightening. And I tell people, take what you need and leave the rest. So we're going to bring Randy on.
Yeah, we'll get him on right now.
Okay.
Hey, Randy, how's it going?
Good, Jason. How are you? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you sound
you're
great.
You're fine. You're well and clear, Randy.
Oh, good. Well, just a warning, I'm in a bad internet area, so I hope to stay with you.
No, you're fine. You're perfect. So anyway, yeah, we're going to talk about maneuvering the matrix, and there's a lot of listeners that are interested in listening to this, and I'm just going to give you the floor and talk about, well, first of all, we're going to talk about what the difference is probably between common law and corporate law, so probably get a basis. And I'm asking some of these things I know myself, but I'm going to ask because the listeners are not probably versed in all the stuff that you are learning and experiencing. So I'm going to have you have the floor.
Well, I just want to say a little disclaimer here. I'm not an attorney. I'm one of the people. And what I've been doing is a lot of research. And so what you're going to hear tonight is for entertainment purposes only.
Okay.
And feel free to
perfect.
Jump in and ask questions as we go along here. You know, I started my little awakening in the legal system, let's say, back in 99. I had experienced some court time through a divorce, and at the same time I was going through a lawsuit, which lasted quite a while. And I realized back then that there was just something that wasn't correct about the legal system. And there was something askew. And so I thought, you know, after those experiences, I'd actually do a little professional witnessing or be, you know, in the courtroom. And I did that for a while, too. But I quickly realized that justice is not what occurs in the courtroom. So that's kind of where I got started. And my most recent experience was with a prospective tenant at a home that I was renting. And she kept trying to get out of the contract and using the term remedy. And I thought, what does she mean remedy? Well, I think that was the beginning of my education, because after that experience, I started digging in and learning a lot more. And it seems like the further I went, the more that was being revealed to me. And it's like the epitome of the matrix. What we have in our legal system is quite shocking when you start to realize what's happening. Let me see here. For one thing, you know, we haven't had any laws in the U.S. since 1933. We are operating under what is called public policy.
How's that?
What happens is they enact policies. They call them acts. The Act of 1871 was an example. That's when they actually the United States Corporation was created. So we're not really operating under a real government. Let's say, I mean, there is the real government. Then there's several different forms of government there. I have quite a few mentors that I'm going to mention as I'm going through this talk, and those people are readily available on websites and YouTube videos.
Okay.
But like I said, we've been operating under policy and statutes, okay? And we think that those are laws, but they can't operate under those policies and acts and statutes unless they get our consent to operate under those policies. They're imposing their political will on us through this process.
So when you say consent, Randy, are you talking about when you sign like a driver's license or voter's registration, those kind of things?
That's a good thing to bring up, and the answer to that is yes. A consent, we are unaware of what they've done, and consent is that. We either consent through acquiescence or actual consent. Now, sometimes we don't even know when we're consenting. One thing you want to keep in mind is the most important thing is it's best to avoid the courtroom, at any time if you can do that. Because what they're going to do, the first thing that they have to do when they take you into the courtroom is get you to consent. It can be a simple thing. It can be as simple as, all rise, please be seated, okay? When you do that, you're consenting, and they're trying to get jurisdiction over you, and there's several different ways they can do that. Now,
wow, really? Or putting your hand on the Bible, correct?
Well, you don't even want to cross the bar. You don't want to get to that point. So one of the things that I've been dealing with recently is through a foreclosure case, so that's where I'm getting my experience now and how to go about doing that. Now, there's certain steps I've been taking because there's two types of people we have in the U.S. One is a U.S. citizen, and one could be referred to as a state citizen or American national. We have been put in a position where we are all U.S. citizens until we decide that we really don't want to be that way anymore because of what's been created for us. For example, the first time that we are put into this position is when we're born. A birth certificate is created. That birth certificate is actually a security instrument. Now, what happens? What happens when you arrive in the world and you're in the hospital and your mom signs the birth certificate? They rarely have the dad sign too, because getting two people involved in this process would not be easy for them. There's something when the mom signs the birth certificate, it's usually done as what's called an informant. And through that birth certificate and the language in the birth certificate, you're basically turning your child over to the state. Now, what happens when the birth certificate is then passed along to the Treasury Department? I'm trying to go through some notes here. Excuse me.
That's all right. That's okay. No problem.
I know. I
but
see
that,
a lot
that's
of
word against.
Videos on YouTube
I'm sorry,
saying,
go ahead.
Like, you don't. I see a lot of videos on YouTube saying that you don't have to pay your taxes and stuff like that. And because of the laws don't apply. I'm not an expert on it, but I see a lot of stuff circulating.
Yeah. Yes, and there's some truth to that, but you want to be real careful. I mean, this is not something that you just do. Anything you do, anything you submit to the court, you want to have knowledge about what you're doing. You just don't want to do it because someone has told you this is what you need to do. You need to understand it, and you need to use your own personal discernment. I've looked at, and I have probably 20 different gurus, let's call them legal people that I listen to. And they've been really helpful. And my education in this process is just growing enormously. One of the things I can do here is just start with a few things that we all should know. Like what is maritime or admiralty law? What is a straw man? What is a bar attorney? And what is the birth certificate? What is the live birth certificate? And why is it printed on bond paper? Aren't only security instruments printed on the bond paper? What is the Sisteque Trust? And again, what is a U.S. citizen versus a state citizen or American national? Why is your name in all capital letters on all these documents that you get, your birth certificate, your driver's license, your social security card?
Hmm.
Why is that?
I don't know.
That is called capitis dementio. That's the name of the corporate entity that was created when you were born. Now, it wasn't actually the day you were born. If you look on your birth certificate, there's going to be two different dates, the dates that you were actually born and another date a few days later or a couple, maybe a week later. That's when the security was born. That's called the straw man.
Well, I know on the Social Security card, and this always bothers me, you know, the Social Security card says not for identification purposes, but yet it's totally used for identification all over the place. That's always bothered me. Like, how is that even – it clearly states it's not for identification purposes, so why is it required?
Well, just to understand
things,
that what they want to do is contract with you, okay? That's the basis of our legal system now. All criminal cases are contracts. They're all commercial law. So the reason your name's in all caps is that's the corporation that was created when you were born. It's called a Sisteque Trust. Now, what they do is they send that off to the Treasury Department, and then a security – oh, here we go. Excuse me.
That's right.
They send that off to the Treasury. Then they create a bond in your name, and your straw man is born. That Treasury or a bond is sent off to what's called the DTCC, the Depository Trust Clearing Center. It's an obscure little subsidy of the private for-profit portion of the United States, one of the many entities.
Wow.
So what happens is, you know, all along throughout our life, because we were born in the United States, we're blessed because money is added to this trust all the time in our name. With just
so how
our
do I get that
signature.
Money?
Yeah. Now there's people that are doing that. There's people that are going after that money, but that's called a Treasury direct account, and there's many people online that will try to get at the money. But keep in mind that since 1933, there is no real money in the United States either. It's all debits and credits based on Federal Reserve notes. So what you can use the Treasury direct account for is to pay off debt. If you want to play in that pool, What happens is when you play in the Treasury Direct pool, you're stepping in what I call the matrix. You're stepping into playing as a U.S. citizen, but you also want to retain your American citizen rights. But when you do that, you give up rights for benefits and privileges.
Such as?
You understand?
Like
Social Security.
Privileges such as, okay, yeah.
Well, let me give you a simple example. When you go down to get a driver's license, you give up your right to travel as a free man or a real man for the benefits and privileges of driving a car, which is now being labeled as a vehicle through your vehicle registration.
That's kind of a voluntary thing where you're agreeing because of the driver's license. I mean, you sign the papers. You're saying you're conforming to whatever laws or whatever that, you know, allow you to do that.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
And we think it's necessary. We think that it's necessary, but to travel, you do not need a license to travel in America. You need a license to act as an operator or a driver. And when you do get your license, you are now converted from a traveler to an operator or a driver. So you're basically giving up your right to travel for the benefit and privilege of driving. Now, I don't know. There's other things that go along with that. They consider that the legal system considers privileges and benefits. That's a simple concept or simple.
Are there any realistic loopholes that somebody could exploit with any of these laws or acts or whatever for our benefit?
Well,
like for example, not paying taxes.
Well, the answer to that is yes, but you have to be tread easily on that. With every policy and act that has been enacted, there is always remedy for an American or state citizen. There are no remedies in the policy and acts for a U.S. citizen. If you're going to play in the pool of U.S. citizens, then you don't have remedies. You have privileges and benefits. So they say. Or that's the terms they use. Now, one of the things you have to keep in mind is legalese, or the terms they use in the legal system, can be quite different than what we're used to or accustomed to hearing. For instance, a person is actually a corporation. Okay, when you refer to yourself as a person, you're referring to your straw man or your person, yourself, in the fictitious entity called the straw man. So what happens is whenever you go into a courtroom, what the judge wants to do, what the system wants to do, it could be the clerk of the court, they're trying to get you to consent so that they can access your straw man account, your Sister Cave Trust. That's where the money is. That's where your signature is. If you could, and you can look up your trust online. I'm not sure. There's a few websites that show you how to do that. I'm not really interested. I can tell you that most trusts are in the multi-million dollars that we have in our accounts. That have been stored there, and they've created these things for us, which is good, but they're trying to access them and deny us our right, if you will.
What?
To
so
access
they're trying
them.
To the courts want to take money out of this account, and if that's the case, if they're taking, is that to cover the court costs? Then why do we still have to pay a lot of court fees and fines and stuff like that?
Well, they want to, when you go into court, you know, by default, you are supposed to be the executor or beneficiary of your trust account. And the judge or the clerk of the court is supposed to be the trustee of that account. But what happens is when you get in the courtroom, they want to all of a sudden, they want to turn the tables around on you to make you the trustee, to make you financially liable for those debts. Like in a foreclosure situation, that the whole foreclosure thing is, you know, the money that was created for the purchase of the home was actually done with your signature accessing the Sister Cave Trust. That's how it was created.
It sounds super shady that there's some somewhat secret account, you know, that's on
yeah,
my name that
it does.
Has a bunch of money
it does,
in
and
it.
It's
that...
really upsetting. And like I said,
I,
you know, I'm learning a lot, and I have learned a lot, and it's upsetting. It is. But once you learn about what they've set up for us and how to use it, it takes education and it takes a lot of time. But there's a remedy, like I said, for just about everything. And, you know, they'd like to keep it hidden. Most of our court system is done by the Uniform Commercial Code, the UCC, which has now been adopted by most governments worldwide. So what they've done is they've taken our legal system and they commercialized it. Now we are dealing with commerce. Even criminal cases are commerce.
I know the criminal system in the prison's a big bigness. Blah, can't talk. Big. I think I'm having a mini stroke. Big business because you have the privatization of prisons now. So it's not even the government running the prisons. It's big money. I think the government makes a lot of money when you get sent to prison. That's why we live in a police state where they want to lock you up for every little thing.
Well, the reality of that is this. If you've noticed, every president that I've ever remembered have stated that we have a war. We're in a war, or we have a war on drugs. We have a war on trafficking. We have a war on this. We've been in a state of martial law operating under this system for ever since I've been alive. You know, we identify the corporate process as a legal process. That's what it is. It's all about the enforcement of contracts, corporate regulations, statutes, and like I said, avoid their courts whenever possible. There's no justice to be found in the courtroom. The only constitutional court in America is the International Court of Trades. All the other courts are kind of pseudo or fictions. That's why it's actually called policies and acts. It's like you're in a play. That's where
absolutely.
The Matrix comes in, right?
Yep, absolutely. Everybody
so the purpose
roles in the theatrical play.
Yeah, but the purpose of these courts is to settle contract disputes, and if either party refuses to participate, as in consent, the courts really can't get involved in the dispute.
And that applies to criminal cases, because if you don't do what you're supposed to do, you know, you get warrants.
Yes. Well, there are no criminal laws in America because criminal laws would imply that the corporate United States government is a sovereign that has absolute power, and that's not the case.
I should have said that when I just paid a traffic ticket.
Now let me just touch on that for your benefit here. You need
okay.
to respond within 72 hours when you get a traffic ticket. And this is why. Title 18 of our U.S. code says that, you know, you're a juvenile delinquent if you can't handle your obligations in a timely manner. So you ever notice when you sign a traffic ticket, you go from offender when you sign the ticket, and all of a sudden you get to the courtroom and now you're the defendant. How does that work?
So mine's even worse. I was captured speeding by a radar van. I didn't have to sign anything. I just got a letter in the mail. I knew it was coming because I saw it flash. I got a letter in the mail, and I had something like 45 days to either pay it, plead, or whatever, and I'm really irritated. And I'm not irritated at the fact I got a ticket. I'm irritated that they just plant these vans somewhere. You know, who knows if the equipment's calibrated correctly? I don't think I was speeding, but I can't, you know, it's not worth fighting.
Exactly. Well, maybe you could send them a photograph of your Federal Reserve notes for payment.
Just a photo? Yeah. And then I get the Secret Service
like
on me.
Like they sent you a photo, right?
Yeah.
No, but we're basically operating under public policy. That's what we're doing. Now you mentioned criminal stuff, so there aren't any criminal laws, but there are criminal contracts, and they're being enforced against us with our consent. And they're called criminal statutes. Now,
so how is my consent implicated? Like, how is that? When did I consent to follow these statutes?
Well, your consent is done through your silence or your failure to act or protest under the law defined by what's called tacit procuration, English. If someone accuses you like of theft in writing and you fail to respond or deny the allegations in writing, your failure to deny or act is considered an admission of guilt. So that's what it is.
And that's how it was on the traffic ticket. If you do nothing, you know, you're pretty much in a mess. They'll suspend your driver's license if you do nothing.
Yes. So there's a whole process. Now, what happens is the term of real man is what I think the latest term du jour is, instead of a sovereign man, because sovereign man tends to raise red flags now in the, you get pulled over or something. So there's a specific steps that you can do to start taking away. See, we've signed all these contracts, one of which is the birth certificate, which our parents didn't know. They got us into this contract and they didn't know, but it's now our responsibility to take care of that. Another one is a driver's license, a social security number. There's all types of contracts that we sign as we go through life. And there's really, things that we have to do to take care of that if we want to become an American citizen or state citizen versus a U.S. citizen and get our rights back. And that way, what happens is when they know, the courts know they're dealing with a real man, they are unable to. See, the courts can only deal with the fictitious character created by the straw man. So when you go into the court, you know, they're going to ask, you know, if you're sitting there in a courtroom, let's say, they call your name. But they're not really calling your name. They're calling the Sister Gay Vay Trust in your name, all capital letters. So the best thing to do would be not respond at all until, because if you even move your hand up or say, well, yes, I'm here, you always want to speak about your trust or your fictitious straw man in a third person if you're in that situation. We can go into more detail on that, but there's a lot of tricks the courts use to get you to consent, and you won't even know it. It's ridiculous. That's why you want to avoid the courtroom at all costs. But there's things that you can do, and I was going to touch upon that and share with you what I've been doing in my life to regain my sovereign real man status as far as taking control of my straw man entity. One of the things I've done, and a lot of information, I'm going to just mention a few names here that are available. One of which is Judge Anna Von Rietz. She's on Facebook and she has a really good website. Lots of information. She'll tell you about how many types of governments we have, et cetera, et cetera. How many constitutions we have, which there's two. I do want to mention a couple other names, though.
Stuff they don't mention in the school. Yeah. No, they leave it all out. I wonder why.
Yes.
So I was going to ask you, so with this straw man, this fictitious entity, what happens when the person dies with all that money that's, you know, was placed in this trust?
Well, let me just back up. Basically, what happens is when you are born, this is actually a death certificate, if you will, because they're creating a corporation. A corporation is a dead thing. It's based on the word corpse. So they're creating this corporation from your name. And I'm not sure what happens to it in the event of your real death. I'm sure it remains in the trust that the government has created for us, especially if no one wants to claim it. I was going to mention a couple other names here. Winston Shrout with the Goldfish Report. One of my favorite people to listen to on this subject is a guy by the name of William Faust on YouTube. He's very entertaining, and he's got a very interesting way of teaching. I used a guy named Harry Baldwin to get me started in this process. He's on YouTube. We've got Tim Turner, and we've got a book called Cracking the Code, third edition. Now, that book goes into how to crack the code, being the Uniform Commercial Code. The Uniform Commercial Code, which is the basis for the operating system and the legal system in the U.S., is set up to make it very difficult for us to figure out. So he actually wrote a book on cracking the code, which is a very interesting concept. And Winston Shrout, I think I mentioned him.
Other countries following the same format, like England or United Kingdom, or is it just the U.S.?
Well, keep in mind that our laws were derived from the U.K., but it's admiralty law, maritime law, admiralty law, but it's being based on the Uniform Commercial Code now. And that is what they use to help confuse us, if you will.
It sounds confusing. I mean, it's kind of this hidden thing that none of us see.
It's intentional. Now, some of the things that I've been doing, let me see, I'll just go from my head here. I've been taught that when you go into a situation like that, you want to go in, let's say, into this event or the trust, if you will, as the executor. The executor has full control over the trust. So one of the first things you want to do, or try to do, or learn how to do, I should say, is learn how to appoint the executor. That was usually appoint yourself as executor over this trust. I've contacted 12 different federal and state agencies, one of which got the IRS, got a notice of change of political status from decedent to non-decedent. I've contacted 11 other agencies with an affidavit of life, letting them know that upon my birth or death certificate, that I am actually a living, breathing man, and that I am not lost at sea. This is maritime law. So that's one document that goes along with a couple exhibits that explains why it has taken you so long to respond to this event. The fact that you're not dead and why you're not dead, if you can believe this. And in addition to that, a cease and desist letter that tells them to stop trading on my Sista Cave account, my birth certificate account, if you will.
That's
so there's a lot
get
of
you
things
on some
we can
watch
do.
List.
Yeah. Well, everything I'm doing, I've learned in the last year, and it's been out of almost a resentment thing, because I really wanted to step out of the matrix, but I'm being pulled back in because of legal stuff, and I'm really tired of sitting down and taking it. And the way our legal system is structured is you can't do that. You know, I'm not going to be silenced, or I'm not going to be silent and consent to anything anymore. So we have to take an active role in doing that.
Now, when you're sending all these letters and stuff like that, is that really going to make a difference? Or are they just throwing them in the trash, or legally do they have to address it?
Well, you need to send, you know, Harry Baldwin points out a good way how to do court by mail. So you really don't have to step into the courtroom unless necessary, I guess, absolutely necessary. But registered mail is the way you want to do documents of high importance. Certified mail works because you do have notice of service through your return receipt card. Registered mail is quite different. Registered mail is actually an international way of mailing things. If you put $21 worth of stamps on it, it puts you into common law jurisdiction. And with the value of the documents at $21, there's a reason for that number. I've read it's over, should be over $20, but anyhow. So what you do is you send it off, and because it's been delivered to them, you have a registered card coming back, and you actually have proof of service through that registration. So they can't deny they got it. They can send you a letter back saying that we don't know what you're talking about, or we're not going to do anything about this. But you have proof of delivery, and you have proof, if need be, that it was delivered. Now, what happens in this process, I'm told, once you become a real man or woman in the process, you'll start to see things happen. If you were to be pulled over for a ticket, for instance, there may be something called a do not detain on your name. Now, you'll notice that if you get a court summons, if you send them the documents that you have already submitted to the other jurisdictions, you may not hear from them again. The best way to handle summons, though, is to respond in 72 hours by registered mail. Yeah, I mean, if you get served papers, you have 72 hours to respond as someone who is taking care of their own business and not a juvenile delinquent under Title 18. And what you can do in that situation is actually write on the envelope, even if you don't open it, you can write on the envelope, refuse for cause without prejudice, UCC 1-308. Harry Baldwin has a good little YouTube video on how to do that for presentments and how to respond to them via registered mail. So there's all kinds of things we can do for the remedy.
Now, so does that mean if you
recently
you do that, they can't arrest you for stuff, or they just can't detain you for an investigation if they suspect you of something?
What refuse for cause means it's fraud. I know it's fraud. You know it's fraud. And we're going to let it go without prejudice. Now, another way we consent to this whole process is we hire bar attorneys, okay? A quote from Judge Anna Von Rietz recently says, "Never hire a bar attorney ever. He is an officer of the court, and his first duty and loyalty is to the profit of the court. And how is that going to happen except by, in one way or another, disservicing and defrauding you?" There are people called counselors at law. I haven't been able to find any, but those may be more helpful in that situation. But just keep in mind that when you're a U.S. citizen, you're operating under public policy and not public law.
Did you have a question, Sherry? I think I kind of interrupted you.
No, go ahead. No, I I forgot now.
The thing that worries me is I briefly mentioned before, as you know, you start sending out all these letters, that's going to put me on some sort of list, you know, oh, this person is, you know, not complying with our system. You know, they're going to
you will
just make life difficult.
Well, I think that's one of the biggest factors that they use in order to control the population and keep them as U.S. citizens is fear.
Well, that's absolutely true.
Now, if you keep this in mind, this is what I like to do when I'm going through all of this stuff, because can be a little intense. You know, I find myself stepping into the matrix and then stepping out of it for a while. But if you look at the courtroom as a business, they're just trying to make money. That's what they're there for.
But they're not paying
when you go into the courtroom.
Paying jurors.
Yeah, there's that. But when you go into a courtroom, you're just negotiating. That's basically what you're doing. But you're also, you have to let them know that you are a sovereign person or a real man. And so that's what they're going to try to convince you, or not convince you, but consent you into their jurisdiction. And that's what you want to try to avoid. And you can usually do that through document preparation and sending things to the IRS, the FDIC, the Department of the Treasury, Office of the Governor. You know, there's a lot of agencies that you actually have to address.
I saw a documentary a while back on these people that are making their homes and their land sovereign nations, and they were walking around with their own, like, emperor garb, and they're basically saying that they're sovereign from the United States, and they create their own flags, and that's probably on the extreme side of things.
Well, there's some credence to that. But again, you have to make sure that you're doing everything that you need to do. You have to make sure that what you're doing is lawful in your mind and legal in their system.
That's the point.
That's the key to it.
That's the key, exactly.
But again, you're not there. My position is, see, there are people, like you talked about accessing your TDA accounts. There's people that want to access those TDA accounts and participate in the U.S. citizen commercial matrix, I'll call it. And that's fine if you want to go there. But I think, paraphrase words of Judge Anna von Reitz, she says you can't be a real man and a U.S. citizen at the same time. You can't work in both worlds. But some people do that. They attempt to do that. And they may or may not be successful. Me, I just want my freedoms, my sovereignty, if you will, from a system that I know is corrupt. I don't admire it at all. I've been in it, and I do not have good feelings about dealing with attorneys. I have attorneys that are friends, so I don't really have anything against them. I don't like what is going on in our legal system. From my experiences and what I have now learned, it rather upsets me quite a bit. So that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. And I've been asked to share information on this subject from other people that are teaching it. So that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to pass it along, pay it forward, if you will.
So we certainly appreciate the knowledge. Now, if somebody goes out and does all this stuff to be a free man, you know, they send all the letters, they do all this. What are they losing? There has to be a consequence to that. Are they losing any rights or privileges by doing that?
Yes. Well, no, you mixed the two. You're getting your rights back for benefits and privileges that you've gotten because you give up your rights. That's the trade-off you get. When you give up your rights as a sovereign or real man, then you get benefits, what they consider benefits. Now, what they consider benefits and privileges may not be the same as what you consider benefits and privileges. So,
probably not.
It's very complicated. I mean, it's just amazing how much you're learning from what you're doing and you're sharing this. It's you know, the ultimate goal is hopefully being a sovereign individual, a free person.
Yes.
You know, and the thing is that, like you said, you need to know what your rights are, but also fall within the legal system. So, the thing I'm looking at is everybody's taught that, you know, you have to, you know, if you just saying knock on wood and pray to God we don't, you know, get pulled over again or anything. But if you get pulled over, you know, I heard that do you really have a right to go and do they have a right to go and do you have to have the, you have to give them your driver's license? Is that something that these, I want you steps outside, or I need you to go look in the car. I mean, those kind of things. Are you giving up your right because you have a driver's license? That's a good question.
Well, one of the terms we all need to learn and practice more is I do not consent. I do not consent. Now,
okay.
That said, in reality, you do not have a driver's license. Your straw woman has a driver's license. So... Okay.
Okay.
So if you want to say, well, I have that corporate entity here with me. Now, different ways of getting out of traffic tickets, and I think William or Billy Faust has some good ideas, and he has fun with it. I mean, one of the things you can do, you know, they're going to ask you, oh, you just need to sign this, and it acknowledges that you received it, right? Well, no, that's not what that means. That's not really what that ticket means if you sign it. One of the things you can do, it's called the four corners rule, is where the signature line is, you can just draw a box around it and fit your signature within the box. Anybody familiar with contract law will know that anything within a box, the four corners rule, is not really there on the contract. But you need to know what to do once you get to court to defend it too. So, you know, Your Honor, I told him there was no contract, so that's what I did. I signed it. Another thing you can do is sign it in above it, authorized representative. Because authorized representatives are not responsible for the straw man, the physical act of it. Another thing is without prejudice. So there's different ways of doing that. Now, I'm not recommending you do any of them until you research exactly what they mean and why you're doing it. So those are ways to get to. Now, I've heard that it's actually better sometimes to say, I don't have a driver's license I don't use a driver's license versus I forgot it or it's expired. Because apparently it's easier to defend in a courtroom when you're just traveling. Instead of being an operator or a driver. Now, I don't have any experiences in doing any of those things. I don't really care. You know, as far as I'm concerned, my straw man needs a driver's license in order to operate in today's society and commerce. So that's how I look upon that.
Is it?
I don't know if
I'd be... have you...
Oh, go ahead, Sherry.
Go ahead.
I was telling Randy, it almost sounds like they almost like have you trapped unless you know how to get around it.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, I don't know if that's going to do it, anything to alleviate the espionage, if you will. But that's my goal. There's several things I still need to do, and I've been learning. I need to send a notice of demand to the court, letting them know who I am. You know, the first thing you have to do is know who you are and what you want to be. Some people that are U.S. citizens just want to stay U.S. citizens, and that's okay. They want to operate in that. But as a American citizen American national or state citizen, you are part of the sovereign people of the U.S., not the U.S., the America.
Have you seen this where or heard about that, Randy, where they've gone to the extent of being free and they have shown that, you know, nobody harasses them or anything like that? I mean, not like they're prisoners or anything like that, but they know what their rights are, and people don't mess with them because they have gone through the procedures correctly within the legal system to become free.
Yes, that's very true. I think That's what I'm trying to do. And I'm not trying to cause any problems. I'm just trying to say, look, I want to be left alone, and I'll leave you alone. That's one approach. A friend of mine, Harry Baldwin, I think I mentioned his name, he's on YouTube. He teaches that, and he teaches you how to get out of things and how to potentially get a do not detain associated with you. So you have any warrants out, you get pulled over. Yeah, you won't have a problem in that respect. Now, there's other people. Sovereign Living is someone I've been reading about on YouTube recently. He's got more of an aggressive nature to it and attacking the legal system so that they leave him alone. One of the other things I've done relative to that is I'm running a copyright on my name, a common law copyright, so that regardless of whether you're a person or a real man, a person or a corporation or a company, if you use my name without authorization, there's a very high price associated with that. That goes for courts, that goes for clerks of the court, judges, attorneys, anybody who does that. And it's administratively easy to process that and get commercial liens on people because of it.
If they write your name on a document or summons or ticket, then they're violating copyright law, something like that?
Yes, common law, copyright law, yes. I've run into that. I've actually started that process. It's being taken care of now.
What is the ramification with that person violating your copyright law? What can happen?
Well, there's a fee, let's say, of $1 million that goes along with that. And if they laugh it off or try it, then there's an administrative process through common law to get a commercial lien on anything that they may own personally or professionally.
Okay.
And basically what it does is, if you know, this is to be used for people that are trying to personally attack you. That's and again, including the legal system, which I believe is a farce. They're just trying to make money, I guess.
You're a brave guy. It sounds kind of scary to me. I mean, I've seen videos of people getting pulled over by police, and they start spouting off all these, you know, laws and, you know, ORS numbers and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah,
and then they end up getting tased and beat down and stop resisting, stop resisting.
That's not how you operate.
Oh, yeah.
See,
yeah,
it's all about
videos on YouTube.
No, it's all about how you present yourself, too. I mean, you can do it in a calm way, right? And if someone gets angry at you, like a cop, and let's say a cop pulls you over and you don't want to roll your window down, and he starts, backs up and pulls a gun out and say, oh, no problem, I'll roll my window down. Well, now you're operating under duress or under threat. So now everything goes out the window. You don't have to worry about what's being done because now you're being threatened. That's a whole different situation.
See, I got
pulled over
because I had a headlight out, and they yanked me out of the car, handcuffed me, and threw me in the back of the police car for absolutely no reason whatsoever.
Boy.
I have no criminal history, and the only reason I could think that they would have done that is because I was in a motorcycle club at the time. And they probably had something in their computer that said, oh, you know, this guy's in a gang or something like that. And, you know, the cops can do whatever they want.
Yes.
They can lie. They've been busted planning stuff on people. I mean, the burden of proof.
Well,
on the person.
I just want to say that there's things you can do about that I've learned recently. So that's interesting because false arrest people don't really do anything about false arrest, and there's options.
They knew who I was as a biker, and that's why they did it. But what the excuse that they gave me at the time was, you know, they said I had warrants, and I said I don't have warrants. And so they let me sweat it out in the back of the police car, and they're like, oh, yeah, you didn't have warrants. So I went down to the police station the next day to complain, and the officer at the police station, I gave him my information. He was like, oh, yeah, those officers shouldn't have done that. There's nobody even with, you know, that fits your physical description that's got warrants, and it's just ridiculous. But just because I was a biker, I should have sued him.
See, that's the quandary. That's the quandary we the people have, right? Well, do we have to go spend a few thousand dollars on an attorney now and see what we can do? Or do we need to go down to the station and file a complaint? Well, how do we do this? You know, that's the deal. That's what we want to figure out. What are our options in order to handle this so that it doesn't happen again? That's what I want. That's what I want to know. That's what I want to help other people with.
My thinking behind it was that, okay, you know, if I sue these guys are going to be sitting outside my house. You know, they're going to do everything to get revenge on me. So I was like, the best course of business is just let it go, you know. But I just looked at the clock, and we only got a few minutes left.
Well, do you see how the Matrix works, though? They've got you in a place of fear.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? And that's not unusual. I mean, that's the normal response. That's what most of us would be like. Now, when I'm in that situation, I'm thinking, okay, what are my options now? Given what I know now, how long ago was this, by the way, Jason?
It was probably about 2 years ago.
Okay.
But it's like now every time I get pulled over again, when I get pulled over again, you know, that's the last thing in my mind is, you know, they control us through fear. Everything's about fear in this country.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, we could probably say that about life, huh?
Yeah.
But
Jason, if you gave them a bad time or something, you know, they might have would have called their buddies, you know, had their other cops, because sometimes, you know, even when I see down the road somebody's getting ticket or whatever the reasons are being pulled over. More often than not, they're just not one. There's two and three cop cars, you know.
No. He made sure he had backup. There were three when they finally came up to my car.
So what do you do?
Well, you
must
be a very scary guy, huh?
I'm pretty big. I'm not gonna lie.
Okay.
Yeah. What do you do in that case when you have so many people, Randy?
Oh, well, there's really nothing you can do to control that, you know, how they're going to react. You can only control your own reactions, right? And
yeah,
you can.
Can they actually fall? I mean, once they feel that you're a threat to them, they can haul you to jail, or you see these things. I don't like looking at them, but, you know, you've seen police brutality and really hurting people and things like that.
Well, what they're going to use as a defense is they're acting in good faith. I've touched upon that today in my studies. And that's their out. They're operating in good faith. But that doesn't mean you can't do something about it. You can file a plan. You can file criminal charges because it was a false arrest. And there's a certain process to do that.
They'll just say that, oh, he was just being detained while they conducted their investigation or something like that.
No. Any type of detainment, excuse me, is false arrest. No. Yes. Interesting, though.
Wow.
See, that's the mindset we have as indoctrinated people in the country we live in.
Yeah,
but there are ways
they've
out.
Got
this, there's a remedy.
Yeah, move to Antarctica.
well, I'm being pulled back into the Matrix.
Well,
it's only temporary.
Just a couple other names here. Just so you know, I got a guy named Winston Shrout. He's a really good guy. Dr. Sam McGuzzy. Well, you'd probably like to have her on your show. She's out there in the paranormal world or alien-type world. April to June will teach you how to access your TDA account. I'm not sure if I would recommend that or not.
Okay.
I'd like to see how much money.
I think the last count, I think the last person I talked to had 187 million or something.
Wow.
But just know, that's probably a normal amount, but just know that that money's there and people are accessing it and you're not. If that's not enough to motivate you to learn more, I don't know what is.
I could buy my own island and have my own government for that with that much money.
Yeah,
and it, you know, like when you're talking about, you know, the being free, it even starts at a local level, doesn't it? I mean, you're talking about this is all legal and courts and things like that, but you can do the little things that, you know, that are common that, you know, like don't, as an example, I can even tell you this, is don't be going in signing up these, like, Safeway cards, you know, like you get, we call those cards where you get a bonus and things like that, and Fred Meyer's or something like that. You know, those are things you can do on a local level, correct?
Yes, banks are a big one because banks can access your trust account with a signature. That's what they do. So when you talk about local level, you know, you're talking about, okay, what about, we've got a city police, then we've got the county government, then we got the state government, then we got the feds, you know, it gets bigger and bigger. You can start. Yeah, there's all kinds of things you can do to start. The first thing I recommend is people get educated, just learn. I know there's a lot of us out there that are hurting. We're in a court case, for instance, or you're going through a divorce or you're a foreclosure. You know, you need to know this stuff now. And I can tell you, if you're going to use bar attorneys, you're already in the system. You're already a U.S. citizen. So that's,
are you better off
by
representing yourself? Is that what you're saying, basically? If you can do the work and the time to educate yourself and know the law and know your rights?
Well, I think I agree with Judge Anna von Reitz on that. I think I read that earlier. But I don't think I've ever been served well by any attorney in my life. Now that in retrospect, knowing what I know now and looking back, it's like, did that attorney just lie in the courtroom? That's not what I said, you know, and I wanted to stand up and yell at the guy, and my attorney's sitting there doing nothing. Or my attorney's not doing what he's supposed to do. You know, I'm not stupid. I know that there's things that you should be saying that you're not. So I've never been served well by an attorney. So that's my personal perspective. And what happens is you're giving them power of attorney over your stuff. But remember who their first allegiance is to, the system.
That makes sense. It really does.
But in order to do that, you have
trouble,
to educate yourself.
They go to see an attorney. You know, that's the first thing. They don't even think about it. They just flies right out of their mouth. Go see an attorney.
I know. Well, here's an idea, you know. I had an attorney recently charge $400 an hour, and I was paying him months for months and months and months. And then I turn around and I pay a guy $1,000 as a donation, and he teaches me more than this attorney ever did in my life, you know?
Absolutely. It makes sense.
And there's so much information. Yeah, well, there's that.
What did you say,
but there's so much information out there. So I just want to share it, and I appreciate you guys letting me talk tonight. So,
yeah, it's been very informational, and I want to thank you for coming on. But we are out of time, and I'm going to do a little bit more research on the subject, watch a few more videos. I've seen a few on this subject, so I'm not totally blind to it, but it's very interesting and it's worth looking into. So I want to thank you for sharing the information with us tonight.
Yeah.
No, you're very welcome.
We really appreciate your time, Randy. Thank you very much for being on our show. We'd like to have you back.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Okay. Take care.
All right.
Thanks.
Bye.
Wow. Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff apparently is going on behind the scenes with the government, and a lot of stuff we were just not aware of. And, you know, I sure could use $187 million. Hell, if it was just $18 million, I could use $1 million, I'd use it. Got to figure out
how
to access
that money.
That would
be the motivating factor. For me, it would be, you know, just it would be if I were to pursue something like that or even thinking about it, it's just something like to you really, it's the right thing to do is to – you know, save your rights, you know, being able to not have it taken away. It's being able to be free and being able to not have the government manipulate you. And we're all big fish in this pond. And you got this thing where you don't have rights and things like that. And even in a small level, you know, when you own your own home, you don't own your own home. You have to pay taxes. So if you don't pay taxes, you get in trouble. I mean, they're the government. The government's telling you what to do. So, building your home or building things that day, you have to have permission. You have to have permits. It's all about the money. And Randy is correct. When you see beyond the veil of what really is going on, you know, our rights are really being taken away. I can see that. You want to cooperate within the laws of the government, but then again, you want to be able to have stick up for your rights. Absolutely. I agree 100%. Very enlightening,
for me,
very eye-opening. Conspiracy theories, just like, you know, as we talk about, from health to, you know, chemtrails to all kinds of stuff. So, yeah, I love talking about that because it makes, you know, makes you wonder and just question things. It's all about questioning. So, again, this is all for entertainment purposes. It's not advice or anything else, but take what you need and leave the rest. It's not necessarily our beliefs or thoughts or anything like that, but it's just information that we give to people so that gives you an idea to share knowledge, share experiences, and to be able to learn and grow. So that's what it is, and to share.
Well, for me, it's all about the money because I've always wanted a pony and a butler, so I would look into it for the money.
Well, you can always get a pony. Get one of those miniature ponies. I'll come out and see you.
Oh, yeah, that'd be awesome. Anyway,
oh
all right, well.
Hey, quickly, we're going to go next week. Cindy Bailey Dove, the Drone Report. She's internationally well-known. She's talking about, we're talking about conspiracy theory with Randy tonight. Well, we're going to talk about conspiracy theory and privacy with Cindy Bailey Dove, and she's going to talk about how we are losing our privacy rights and all the things. So, Cindy is just absolutely stunning, just intelligent and just beautiful, and just I love her to death. And she, I just want to let you know, she heads up, she's going to be on our Girls Round Table. So I'm really excited in the Girls Round Table on June 10th. We're probably going to go for an hour and a half, and we're going to have four dynamic women that are just, we know our stuff, and we're just going to share our experiences from being an abductee to Chinese medicine to psychic mediumship to paranormal investigations, and us four girls are going to be right on the round table. So I'm really excited about that. 2 weeks from now, we're going to be Cliff Rockman. He's going to be the Bigfoot guy, another guy that's been well known and travels all over the continent and just teaches lectures. He'll be at the Bigfoot Festival in Troutdale this coming August, which I will see him personally. So we're really excited to have Cliff Rockman back in 2 weeks.
Absolutely. And I want to thank all the listeners for listening to the show tonight. I want to thank the National Security Agency and Central Intelligence Agency for monitoring Paranormal Horizons. And that's a joke. You're supposed to laugh.
Gee, thanks, Jason. Anyway,
all
right. Well, just helping other people to learn, and like I said, so thank you guys for just supporting us for all these years, and that's been really great. Paranormal Horizons has been growing, and we're getting a lot of feedback on our page, and if anything else that we can talk about, we're going to keep on going, and we're just helping those that are listening and just being with us all these years.
Absolutely. Well, with that, we'll close it out. Hope everybody has a fantastic week, and we'll see you next Sunday at 8 p.m. Good night, everyone.
Hey, thank you, guys. Peace. Take care.